Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single Wednesday and discuss the top stories in the world of sports as only we here at the Daily Dose can do. You know, we try to give you a dose of common sense. We have been accused of being maybe just a tiny bit sarcastic in the past. You can download, you can subscribe to the podcast in pretty much any place you get podcasts. You know, iTunes, Stitcher, all the normal places, Podcast Republic. We've got our own channel over on Audio Boom. Or you can head over to our website, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports.wordpress.com. And, you know, while you're over there, check out a few of the articles that go up every single week. One just went up yesterday about the Chicago Cubs. Something you might not have known about the Chicago Cubs. Cubs, of course, are the World Series right now. Pretty big series for them as they are trying to win their first championship in decades and centuries and whatever. But you might want to head over to our website. Had some kind of breaking news that you might not have known about the Chicago Cubs. Make sure you stop by the website and check that out. Plus, we do put a link to the podcast there every single week. Also, be sure to stop by our podcast network page. That is rogueintel.com. Few podcasts over there that you're going to get addicted to, you are going to want to listen to every single week. So make sure that you stop by Rogue Intel. They do a great job over there getting new content up, and it will be stuff that you get addicted to and you want to check out. If you've got a question, if you've got a comment, you need some advice. You know, last week we had to call one of our listeners, Trixie, I don't even know what to say about Trixie. Trixie writes the show, she tweets the show, she sends emails to the show. Gave her a call last week, just kind of check in and see how she was doing. I don't think she expected me to actually do the call, and especially not to do the call on the show. But, you know, I had a lot of positive feedback about our girl down in, what was it, Pensacola, Florida. A number of people kind of liked that whole thing. Yeah, we might have to have her back on the show. I'll be honest, I'm scared to have her on the show, but we might have to have her on the show. Trixie, if you're out there, if you've got, you know, some questions for us, if you have anything else you'd like to add, feel free to send it in. But if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you need some advice, or you've got some input on the show, feel free to hit us up, dailydosports@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, do you realize that the NFL regular season is right about halfway done? Can you believe that? It doesn't seem possible. Didn't it just start? Weren't we just doing our NFL preview? I don't know, like a couple days ago? It sure seems like it was. But today, we are going to take a look at some of the surprises, some of the disappointments at midseason, who are the best teams, maybe even a few of the worst teams. Might have to take out a look at a few awards, MVPs, things like that, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year. Mike from Castle Rock has been by the Daily Dose a number of times, and he is going to stop by and discuss those things. Plus, got to talk a little about the World Series, college football, and as we always do, we will get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Trust me, this week you do not want to miss the Daily Dose Top 5. Got something good for you today. You know, Election Day is coming quickly. Election Day is next week. And of course, we had Donald Trump, we had Hillary Clinton on the podcast just a few weeks ago. I'll be honest. I'll be completely honest. I wasn't that impressed with either one of them. It's a weird election year. Two candidates, not strongest of candidates that we've got up there, is it? Vice presidential candidates you've never heard of. You want to know how weird of an election year it is? Remember that nerdy guy from the second presidential debate? The guy in the red sweater, Ken Bone? Remember that guy? The jerk at your office probably dressed up like him on Monday for Halloween. Right now, in the state of Florida, Ken Bone is getting more votes than the Green Party candidate, Jill Stein. That's how stupid this election is. We're writing in candidates. They're getting more votes, just kind of joking candidates, than the real candidates are. Ken Bone is getting votes. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to live in Ken Bone's America. I can tell you that right now. I mean, I don't know his views. I know that he still says he couldn't make up his mind. Like, I'm not really sure. I'm trying to figure out what who I'm going to vote for. Really? Still undecided? Huh. Not real sure about your sense. But I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure there's going to be enough females for the rest of us if that guy is out front and center. I don't know. I don't think I want to live in Ken Bone's America. Scares me a little bit. That guy's a lady killer. You can just see it. We'll come back to maybe some of this stuff a little bit later. Let's talk a little college football. Washington won at Utah. And I'm going to be honest. Washington Huskies impress me a little bit with the different ways that they can win. We saw some shakeups this week in college football, though. This was a week that I don't know that we expected big things out of, but we got some big things out of. Washington beat Utah. That's an impressive win. Clemson survived at Florida State. The Seminoles had a chance to pull the upset against Clemson. Please explain one thing to me. I can't quite figure this one out. Head coaches harp on poise. Play under control. Don't allow your emotions to take over. And then you see Florida State coach Jimbo Fisher lose his mind, take a huge penalty. But coach, we saw these same things with like a Bobby Knight. They're always teaching poise and make sure you don't get too emotional. And really? Shouldn't you be saying this to yourself? What are you telling us for? Tell yourself these things. Jimbo Fisher, I'm not going to say he cost his team the game, but he certainly didn't help Florida State get that win. Louisville survived against Virginia. That's exactly what we talked about when we said, don't forget these are 18, 19-year-old kids. A team like Virginia, scrappy, a little bit tough, and a team like Louisville that says, there's no way Virginia's going to play with us. Yeah, maybe. Might be a little bit close. Had a couple of teams go down this week. Talked about West Virginia, maybe being a surprise team. Down goes West Virginia. Hey, it was fun. Nice seeing you. Get back to us again in a few years. Oklahoma State takes down West Virginia. Down goes Baylor. The Texas Longhorns take down Baylor. If Texas just had any consistency, they beat some of the big teams on their schedule, and then they lose and can't make a tackle. And we'll see if Charlie Strong can survive down at Texas, but a win against Baylor certainly doesn't hurt. Down goes Nebraska. Wisconsin takes them down in overtime. That was an entertaining game. And then you might have missed this one if you're not in this area. Of course, I'm in Denver. If you're not in this area, down goes Boise State, the Wyoming Cowboys. Surprise Boise. That was an entertaining game. I actually watched some of that. Wyoming, I told you under Craig Bohl, they'll be good for Wyoming. But Wyoming's kind of a scrappy team. Get themselves in place for a bowl game. It's Wyoming. They're not gonna be up there with Alabama or Clemson, but it's Wyoming. Down goes Boise. So much for their sneaking in to the playoff picture chances. That's not going to happen. First playoff committee poll is going to be released as I record this tonight. In just a few minutes, in fact. We know who it's going to be, though. We know who those top four teams are going to be, at least for now. Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Washington. We know it's going to be those four teams. Probably, if I had my guess, it's probably going to be Alabama, Michigan, Clemson, Washington. It's probably going to be 1-4. Shift over to, just briefly, I would like to brush on the NBA. The NBA started this past week. Not sure if you've been following the NBA. It's so early. It's really, really early. But New Orleans Pelicans, Anthony Davis, big man, is blowing up. You know, in the first two games, Anthony Davis had 95 points in two games. 95 points. Granted, the Pelicans went 0-2. And Golden State got blown out by the San Antonio Spurs. Kevin Durant is now saying, you know, he's kind of got hurt feelings and people are talking bad about him. And, you know, are the Warriors in trouble? Well, it's going to be a chemistry problem. I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a chemistry problem back there in Golden State. What does any of this mean? I'll tell you what it means. None of it means anything. The season is so long. We're going to be talking about the NBA in like April and May and June. It means nothing right now. I don't care if Golden State goes like 0-6, 0-8, and they're not going to. They won their next game. I don't care. I think Golden State figured out last year winning 73 games and doesn't really do anything for you. Can you get yourself ready? Can you keep your team healthy? Get a good playoff spot. Get some home court advantage. And then see how things go. And I think Golden State may have learned that. So I'm not going to get too high about Golden State. Not going to get too worried about Golden State. Tonight, World Series game number 6 between the Cleveland Indians and the Chicago Cubs. Should be interesting. The Indians are up in the series 3-2. As you listen to this, you'll know either the series is over or we're going to a game 7. I'm telling you right now, I'm praying for a game 7. A game 7 would just be perfect. I was hoping for this series. I was hoping for these two teams to make it. Please go to a game 7 just so someone is just ripping the hair out of their head watching the game. Cleveland is winning this game with their pitching, and they're winning it with their middle relievers. And I'll tell you one thing they're winning it with. They're winning it with their curveball. Chicago can't hit that curve. I know. I don't know. Maybe they need Joe Boo or something because right now, Chicago is having a real, real hard time hitting that curveball. Cubs fans, wow, after they lost those first two games at home, Cubs fans were making sure that the extension cord on their toasters still reached the bathtub. Does it reach? Does it reach all the way in there? Yeah, but if it's completely submerged in the water, does it still reach? Yeah, it reaches. It reaches. We know. Is it over? No, no, it's not over. And we'll see what happens tonight. But it's not over. If the Cubs do win Game 6, hey, anything can happen in Game 7. I'm just not sure that I believe that the Chicago Cubs can generate enough scoring against those pitchers three games in a row. They had a tough time doing it in Game 5. Backs against the wall, playing at home, playing for their lives, and they kind of had to scrape one together. So it won't surprise me one bit to see the Indians finish this out in Game 6. I'm really hoping it goes to a Game 7, though. It would be very, very entertaining if it did. Hey, we've got to get to our NFL midseason report. Don't want to miss that. Make sure that you stick around. We will be right back.
Harry Potter, what are you doing listening to Rogue Intel? That podcast is for Slytherin.
What's up, guys? Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network. Me and Kenny sit down and talk about how getting older sucks, but can be awesome at the exact same time. We also look at pop culture, review a few movies, share some personal stories, and just basically poke fun at the world around us. Be sure to check out Now That I'm Older on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network.
You like beer?
Beer.
You like rock and roll?
I'm allergic to penicillin.
Do you like drunk Australians?
Beer.
Do you like interviews with bands exploring facets of entertainers' lives best left to the imagination and possibly not presented on a radio show?
I don't know where this is going.
Jump on rogueintel.com/remedial.
You know, we are at week 8. Week 8 just completed in the NFL season. Pretty incredible. Seems like the season literally like just started. With it being the mid-season mark, we wanted to kind of stop and take a little bit of inventory of the NFL at the mid-season point. Week 8 is in the books. We are finished with it. We are now at the midpoint of the NFL season. And so I wanted to bring someone in who he's been on the show before, but this is a guy who gets the NFL, he follows the NFL, and he understands the NFL. Mike from Castle Rock is joining us today to talk a little bit of the NFL mid-season report. Mike, thank you for joining us. I really do appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Clint.
You know, when we look at this season so far, is there anything in particular so far that stands out to you, any kind of storylines that stand out to you just yet?
Can anybody make a field goal?
Yeah, the kicking game. There's not enough good kickers out there, is there?
Well, I don't know. I was actually looking at the numbers, thinking it would be down quite a bit from the previous few years, and it's actually right on par. I think it's just a case of timing on them. Short ones. It's not like guys are missing 50-yarders to win or tie, but oh my goodness, it's just unbelievable watching these kickers choke.
Well, and we've seen extra points missed, obviously, with the change to the rule. You know, the interesting thing to me, I'm glad you brought up special teams, because with the change in the kickoff rule coming out to the 25, how many times do I continue to see returners run it out and get to the 15? How is this not being coached more? It's a little bit odd to me.
Well, and then on the other hand, too, I mean, Belichick, of course, does it, and I've seen many other teams do it as well. Having that kicker trying to kick it high.
Yeah, Denver's doing it.
And short inside the five. And honestly, I've seen that work more than backfire. So it's funny that the rules put into place to reduce the returns, and in fact, it has actually increased them.
And we knew that it would. That's what happens when you get a bunch of old guys in a hotel room down in Florida trying to make really, really smart decisions. Sometimes their decisions really don't make that much sense. One of the storylines I think that we have to look at this year that kind of stands out, at least to me, is just backup quarterbacks. When you look at the quarterbacks right now in the league, we've seen so many backups start. I mean, look at the teams who have started or are currently starting backup quarterbacks. The Patriots, the Jets, the Broncos, the Steelers, Dallas, of course, is going with Dak Prescott. The Eagles ended up going with their backup when they traded Sam Bradford, who was kind of a backup situation with Bridgewater going down to Minnesota. The Bears have been on their third or fourth quarterback. The Panthers have had to start. 49ers, Cardinals. I mean, there's so many teams that are just going to their backup. You better have a decent backup quarterback, because you're going to probably end up going to him in this league.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that lends to one of the increasing problems, and I'm hearing a lot of different theories about it, whether it's, you know, no contact in the off season, the different type of play in college football, but you can list on one hand and not use all your fingers the amount of NFL teams right now that have a solid 1-5 offensive line.
No, you're right. It doesn't happen. We can't develop these guys because they can't hit in the offseason. The spread offenses that are being taught and run don't teach the things that they're going to need when they get to the NFL. And those spread systems, as exciting as they are to watch in college, with the speed and the physicality of the NFL, you can't run it. Your quarterback won't last. It just doesn't work. Interesting to look at. Are there any teams that would be a surprise for you so far as we just finished up week 8? At the halfway point, who's surprising you so far?
Simply because of who's leading them, I got to go with the Cowboys.
Yeah. Yeah, Dallas has been a big surprise.
I think Atlanta may be a little bit of a candidate there, too.
Sure.
I think they're bouncing back a bit better than they were last year. Of course, last year at the halfway point, they were doing quite well too, so they're looking pretty good. On the other end, I knew Carolina wasn't going to be as good, but I didn't think they'd fall flat on their face.
Oh, they look so bad. They look so bad, and I know they got the win yesterday. Well, and here's the other one of the other teams that's on that list of disappointments, the Arizona Cardinals. How bad do they look?
Fallen way off. I thought that it was going to be between them and the Seahawks, outpacing the division and possibly even the conference, and it's just not happening. Your home opener hosting New England without Brady, and you lay a big egg.
Yeah.
It was just a shocker. Yeah, you're right. They're a disappointment as well.
The Cincinnati Bengals are a team that you looked at the beginning of the season and just said, with all the talent that they have, they've got a lot of guys on that team. And Cincinnati was a team that I looked at and said, you know, if things fell right, I know they're the Bungles, but that is a talented, talented roster. They're really, really disappointing right now. I'm looking at them, and I mean, they're sitting, what, 3-4? I think they're under 500. It's just unreal. Jacksonville, I don't know that I didn't have high hopes for Jacksonville, but I know a lot of people out there did. They're definitely a disappointment. Just kind of a funny year. Let's take a quick look. Let's go through a few of the divisions, and I'll get some other stuff from you here in just a few minutes, but let's look at a few of the divisions and just kind of see kind of how we see these divisions shaping up as we get down to it. AFC East, will start over there. Patriots still look like they are going to be the king. I know we shouldn't be declaring division winners. I think we can go ahead and declare this division winner. It's already kind of done. I guess Buffalo maybe can contend for a wild card spot? I don't know.
No.
Yeah,
No, there's too many other talented teams in the AFC. If you're not winning that division, which unless you're New England, you're not going to the playoffs.
And Miami, every year you look at them and say they've got some talent, but they also have Ryan Tannehill. And I do think they ask him to do too much. Stop making him throw the ball 30 times a game. Get that out of your head and let's just hand the ball off. The Jets, I'll be honest, going into the season, I looked at that Jets defensive line and said, hey, they can at least be in every game. They are horrible.
Yeah, you're right. Front seven there, very good, very talented. You would think that they would be similar to the formula the Broncos had last year, where a defense might be able to keep you in it, and as long as you don't have complete ineptitude at the quarterback position, which they do.
Ryan Fitzpatrick's
going to be in a lot of games, and it's just not happening.
Right. Ryan Fitzpatrick's playing with a blindfold on, right? It's the only thing that makes sense.
Single-handedly put Marcus Peters, cornerback for Kansas City, in the Pro Bowl this year.
Yes, he did. All in one game. Let's move over. So we've got the Patriots are going to lock that up, and that's a done deal. We'll move over to the AFC North. Pittsburgh looks like the best team in the North, but I'm struggling a little bit with what I see sometimes from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, little inconsistency. I got to tell you, though, whether he's back this week or the following week, there's rumors he'll be back this week. I think they're starting to click. Their defense is starting to come around a little bit. They're going to be tough to beat for that division.
Baltimore, I thought Baltimore might try to eke their way in as the year started, and they're starting to slide. The defense is starting to come apart. The age on some very, very key players for them is really starting to show itself. And then the Bengals are a mess, and the Browns. I think the Browns just started like their ninth quarterback this season.
Yeah, if there was a D-League, they'd still have to try out for that.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty bad situation there.
Steelers got that one locked up. Okay, let's get to the worst division, maybe in, I don't know, the NFL, possibly pro sports at all, AFC South. The Houston Texans are in first place of anything. I think that tells us all we need to know right there.
Exactly. The fact that they're at first place, yeah, they're a game above 500, 5-3. That's simply due to a fact that they've played five home games. They're undefeated at home. They've squeaked a few out. Broncos avoided a big, big bullet, signing Brock to all that money. You got to give him a little time, though, but it's not that he's not getting the system. He's missing wide-open receivers. He's making bad throws. He's throwing behind the guys.
It feels like he's gotten in his own head.
I wonder if that's a funk he can come out of.
Right.
But talented on defense, missing Watt is a huge, huge deal. The best defensive player in football. They may win that division by default, and they could win it at 8-8.
Yeah, they absolutely could. The one team, maybe, I'm going to throw out there is the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I agree. They're starting to put it together a little bit.
That's a pretty good offensive line, and that's a pretty good running game.
Very good running backs.
Yes. And if that's the case, you know, the funny thing, and I'm going to say this out loud. When I say it out loud, it's going to sound really stupid. Don't everybody judge me when I say this. The Tennessee Titans are kind of built for postseason success. Because if they can run the football and play a little bit of defense and play keep away with you, they wouldn't be horrible if they possibly made it to the postseason.
It's an outdoor team built for cold weather. Yeah, you got a good point.
Indy doesn't look like they're going anywhere. They have just no help, and then the Jacksonville Jaguars are absolutely awful. The AFC West, we go from the worst division in the NFL to the, I'm going to say, the best division in the NFL. Raiders and Broncos on top. Chiefs just, you know, a half game behind them only because they had a bye week. And then the Chargers, sitting back there at 3-5, are very, very dangerous. I'll be honest, I don't know who's coming out of this division. At least, I don't know who's winning this division.
It's a three-horse race, and San Diego, I think, could beat any team in the NFL on any day.
They absolutely can.
They're very talented. The first several games, they just found a way to lose at the end. They could easily be on top of this division right now. Some bad coaching. There were some very curious calls against the Broncos.
Mike McCoy's a moron. Sunday. Mike McCoy, going for two, absolutely made no sense. When he did it way too early. He was chasing points. I don't how he still has a job, I don't know.
In first and goal on the two, and you throw it four straight times. They were the best pass defense in the league. You just ran the ball down there.
Just bizarre.
It made no sense. He outthought himself. I don't get it. But scrappy team, there is just not going to be a good year for them with those three very talented teams ahead of them.
You know, the one team, because I look at the Raiders, I like the Raiders a lot. I like what they're doing offensively. Not real sure about their defense. Giving up over 200 points already scares me a little bit. I look at Denver, exactly the opposite. Ton of defense. Offense scares me a little bit. That one team that could sneak by and get past everyone just might be Kansas City.
Absolutely. Especially, you talk about a home field advantage, especially later in the year. It's always a tough out going to Kansas City. They will be getting Justin Houston back, I think, here in the next few weeks.
Yeah.
They seem suddenly a little thin at running back, maybe. I mean, they traded away Niles Davis. Was that who they traded
away? Went to Green Bay.
Who they immediately cut.
Right. Complete waste of time.
Yeah. Jamal Charles is going to a knee expert, so who knows what's going on with him. But
I do want to see what we're going to find out about Alex Smith and the concussion he took on Sunday, because that would change things drastically. But they've got a very, very good defense. They've got a reasonably balanced offense. That's kind of a sneaky good team right there. I could see three teams making the playoffs out of the AFC West.
Easily.
In fact, I kind of expect to.
Yeah, the way things are looking right now, I don't see with the possibility of Tennessee.
Sure.
But again, they may do that by winning that division if they overtake Houston. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. You could legitimately have an AFC West team at 10-6 and miss the playoffs.
Yeah, you could. Going to be interesting as we come down the stretch. Let's shift over to the NFC. The NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys are finally running the football. I know, I can't believe it either. Although they got a little cute on Sunday night, probably throwing the ball a little bit too much. They are out in front. They've got a two-game lead in the NFC East, but I still think there is a chance that they will do the stupidest thing ever, bring back Tony Romo and just poop the bed and end up not even make the playoffs.
Dallas fans need to light that stadium on fire if they put Romo back in there. You don't mess with the momentum they've got. The team loves the kid. He's more athletic. He's more mobile. He's not fragile.
Well, yeah, because don't we know what's going to happen if Romo does come back? He's going to come back, throw the ball over, they'll lose a few games, and then he's just going to get hurt again anyways.
He takes a lot of flack. He's a good quarterback.
He
really is. I think he might be a little bit underappreciated, but he can't stay upright. He can't stay healthy.
No. And weird injuries.
You gotta stick with the kid. You gotta go out and get you there.
Yeah. I do like Philadelphia. I will admit, I was way off on them. I did not think they would be that good. That defense is pretty scrappy. I'll give Philadelphia at least a chance because of their defense to be in it to the end. I guess the same thing with the rest of that division. I don't know. The Giants and Washington don't impress me, but it seems like they're in every game.
Yep.
And that's about all I can say for any of them. I do like Philly, though.
Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there. Their defense is very good.
And because of that, I'll give them a chance. NFC North. The Vikings are on top by a little, and they look, I guess, like probably the best team in that division. But hey, Minnesota has some flaws. For one, they've had a very, very soft schedule. The offensive line has some flaws. And we know, being Bronco fans, seeing North Turner year after year after year, especially, you know, when he was around the AFC West, if you want to attack a North Turner offense, blitz, 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 and you're probably going to eat them up. We've seen Sam Bradford struggle with that already this year.
Yeah, you know, their start was incredible. Lost, I think, two in a row now with the Chicago game. The injuries were going to catch up to them. I don't want to say it was false hopes there, but they were riding their defense, which is outstanding.
Very good.
I still think they're the best as far as points against, so very good defense. But with the amount of injuries that offense has had, you're losing your starting quarterback, Hall of Fame running back, both tackles. There's no way you can go through the whole season on the rush that they were on.
You know, the rumor is that Adrian Peterson may be back by December. Now, I don't know. I would think they would still be in some sort of a playoff hunt at that point, and that might be a great time for him to come back. That could change things just a little bit, but that's going to be interesting to watch. I'm watching the Green Bay Packers, and every time I watch them, I'm just, it's like something's off. Something's not right with that team still.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're right. They're not clicking. The offense isn't what we're used to seeing.
No. And I know they don't have much of a run game. I don't think their wide receivers are as good as sometimes Rodgers makes them look. But yeah, the Packers aren't.
Well, and Jordy may not be 100%.
No, he's not. I don't think he is. He doesn't look right either. You know, the team that is a little bit scrappy in this division that I kind of like is the Detroit Lions.
Are they better without Calvin?
Maybe. They're not any worse.
Yeah.
I know that.
They're an interesting team. Stafford's actually having a great year.
Yeah, he is.
Without, you know, one of their best players in the history of the team.
Sure. Which, yeah, it's a little bit weird. And then you have the Bears, which are, I'll be honest, I did not think they would be this bad. I thought they would be bad. I didn't think they would be this bad.
Right.
Bizarre. NFC South, another division that just isn't very good. Atlanta Falcons look like the class of the division, but that's not saying a whole lot. But I do like a little bit of what Atlanta's doing. They've impressed me a little bit, but after them, it's a big, big drop. Is Atlanta legit? And I guess that's the million-dollar question. Do we buy into what Atlanta is doing at all?
Well, they're doing it kind of the opposite of some of the teams we've been talking about. They're outscoring you.
Yeah, they are.
defense isn't outstanding. They're giving up a lot of points. But, boy, Matt Ryan's having a great year.
Oh, he is. And they've scored almost 300 points already this year. It's crazy what they're doing. Beyond them, Tampa looks terrible to me. The Saints are what the Saints always are. Great offense, great with Drew Brees, and the defense is just garbage. And then, of course, Carolina. And now we've got Cam Newton complaining about getting hit. And I understand what he's saying. He's right. He does get hit too much. And he also lowers his hat on some guys, and guys are going to knock the living crap out of him when they get the chance.
Yep. You know, part of it might be his bravado on the field. Part of it is his style.
Sure it is.
He's huge.
He's bigger than the guys hitting him.
You can't just go up and grab him around the waist and expect to throw him down like a 200-pound wide receiver.
Exactly. No, they're coming up and laying the wood to him.
Tree down.
Yes. And they do. And then why are they hitting me? Well, you're a big guy. I got to hit you. And it doesn't really help that you went out and, you know, pulled out the Superman thing the last time you scored. So, yeah, I'm going to stick one in your ear hole.
That's an interesting one to see. He's, you know, when his dad's complaining with him, it's I don't know.
What a fall, though.
It's a tough one to swallow.
Yeah, what a weird season for Carolina after, you know, going to the Super Bowl.
Did Josh Norman make that much difference?
Man, it sure looks like it, doesn't it? Of course, they're starting two rookie cornerbacks, and those rookie cornerbacks are getting torched unless they play Arizona, which, of course, then nothing happens. Speaking of Arizona, let's go over to the NFC West and finish up there. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I'm looking at in the NFC West quite yet. Seattle, still the class of the division, but that offense is bad. And I know they're going to figure it out. I know Seattle's offense is going to get better, but that offensive line is horrible. And as a result, there's just not a lot they can do offensively.
Their game is to run the ball, control the clock, and let Russell Wilson make a few plays here and there. And he's running for his life. They're not running the ball like they're used to. And, yeah, like I brought up previously, they've got a terrible offensive line.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, no, it's really, really hard to piece together quality offensive lines these days. And when you see teams that do, they're having success because most teams can't do it.
Yep.
Seattle really, really struggled with that offensive line. Cardinals, great defense. Same thing, though. Offensive line is terrible, and as a result, they don't look very good. Rams, I don't know, what do you think, 500 again? What they do every year.
I think that's a bet you can make for about the next decade, or as long as Fisher's coaching the team.
Sure.
His career record is 100 and
it's,
100 or
it's
something.
It's what he does.
It's just unbelievable.
And then the San Francisco 49ers are garbage and probably should be relegated. One thing that I do want to talk about, and one of the storylines, and we talked about it last week, it was our top five. We discussed that the NFL so far, the ratings are actually a little bit down. And some of the reasons we gave for that, of course, the presidential debates have something to do with that. Of course, the way people are taking in the NFL is different. It's not just through TV. There's people live streaming games. There's people watching it in a number of different formats, which does make for a lower rating. I think there's too many flags. I think there's, you know, too many commercials a lot of times. It's a choppy game with all the instant replay stuff. Number of different reasons. But one of the things that I said, and it was our number one reason, is that there's not a lot of must-see TV in the NFL this season. Like, there's not a lot of there's not a lot of must-see players or must-see teams.
With the exception of, you know, and it may pick up towards the end of the year.
You would hope so.
It'll be a little bit more clearer. There'll be some playoff races. The Dallas-Philly game had kind of a marquee feel to it.
One of the first ones.
The Denver-Oakland game,
that's going to be the biggest
Denver-Oakland
one.
Denver-Oakland game in a decade?
Easy.
If not more?
Yeah.
You know,
Sunday night football?
There's a possibility that it may look up. Do we know the exact reason? I don't know. But yeah, you're right. The marquee matchups just aren't there. A lot of turnovers in the big positions. You know, Manning's gone, things like that. Adrian Peterson out.
J.J. Watt.
I don't know. One thing I want to throw out there. The NFL just moved into the biggest TV market in the country.
Sure.
Now, all of a sudden, you've got, I don't know, what is it, 13, 15, 20 million people in that area that only have one game to watch.
That's a good point.
And how many of those are all of a sudden big fans of a 500 team?
Right, which is what it is every single year. Yeah, they're not going to watch. They don't. They watch for the first two weeks.
You know, you're talking small percentage points, and it's a combination of a lot of things, but that might have something to do with it. They may be turning the TV off because they're, we got to watch the Rams again this week.
Sure. No, that's a good point. So if we're looking at these teams, we're looking at, you know, maybe some of the best teams in there, not necessarily in any kind of an order, doesn't have to be in any sort of an order, but if you are looking at the top five contenders for a Super Bowl right now, who would your top five contenders be in the NFL?
Got to start at the top. And they've been there, you know, every year for a decade, if not more. New England, of course.
Yeah, I'll go Patriots at the one spot. They definitely look like they have so much offense, and they're so smart the way they game plan, and they have enough defense. They can definitely get stops when they have to. So I would put the Patriots at the top of the list. Now it starts getting harder, though.
I've got like 2 through 7.
Right, exactly. And they're all kind of the same.
You could throw them in a washing machine and pull them out one by one in different orders each time, and I couldn't argue with you.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Who would you put in? Like I said, it doesn't have to be in any order. Who's your number two?
Let's throw Dallas in there.
I'll throw Dallas in there because of the way that they're running the ball and because of the way they're, I hate to say, kind of hiding that defense and keeping that defense off the field where they don't have to do more than they're capable of doing. The high percentage throws that Dak Prescott is throwing, Yeah, I think Dallas is probably in that top five right now. I'll be fine with that. All right, let's go to number three.
With the defense staying the way that it is, Denver.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'll stick Denver in the top five somewhere.
Again, are they three? Are they five? Are they six? I don't know. They're in the mix. The next few games are going to go a long way.
Yes, they will.
In figuring out where exactly they may stand when they come up to their late bye coming up. But you know what? Defending Super Bowl champs, defense still running strong. Got to get that offensive line working.
Yeah, offensive line is struggling. Offensive line is not always producing running lanes and getting way too many penalties. But this isn't that far of a blueprint off of what we saw last year. We saw a lot of ugly wins down the stretch to still find ways to grind out ugly wins. They won ugly games all the way through the Super Bowl. So
sure.
I'll put them in there. So there's three. We've got Patriots, Broncos, Cowboys. What do you got for four?
I can't believe I'm saying this. The way they're playing right now, Raiders.
Yeah, I can put Oakland in there. Oakland's offense is nasty. And when you look at Carr and Crabtree, Mari Cooper, I mean, that is a loaded offense. They can score from it. Now, I'm seeing way too many penalties, and that defense.
They could have cut their penalties in half last week and still been above the average for a team per week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 23 penalties. And the interesting part to me about that, they went in the locker room, and I heard Jack Del Rio kind of telling jokes about it, and I was like, you can joke about it if you want to. That's going to bite you if you do that in a big game.
Yeah.
You can do that against Tampa Bay.
That bothers me about them as far as sustaining this is, yeah, you do need to correct those penalties. Now, whether he's just saying that, blowing it off to the press or whatever, and he's reaming his team for it, I don't know. But he absolutely needs to, because there's going to be a time where it's going to cost him a game. That, and how many of their victories, what was it, the first or second game of the year, they took the chance and went for two?
Yeah, those things always usually balance out.
They went for it on fourth down in the overtime game.
Yeah.
Just this last week.
At the 50.
And kudos to them. It takes the cojones to do it, and you're building. That's one thing that they have not known how to do over the years is to learn how to win.
Learn how to win, sure.
And, you know, he's kind of instilling that in them, but you can't always rely on stuff like that. So it'll be interesting to see the second half of the year
and how
they maintain that.
Right, and because the AFC West, I don't know, you know, about other divisions, we haven't had many divisional games yet. The Chargers and the Broncos are done. The Chiefs and the Raiders have played once. That might be it.
Yeah.
And so you're going to really start seeing things shape up, because other than that, let's be real clear, Oakland has a soft schedule the entire way. The teams left on their schedule aren't very good, aside from the divisional teams. They've still got Houston, they've got Carolina, they've got Buffalo, they've got Indy. Other than that, it's all divisional teams. It's going to start getting very, very interesting, though. Okay, so Oakland's number four. I'm good with Oakland being in our top five right now. Who is your fifth team that you would put on this list?
And again, I got a few that I could try to squeeze in there. I'm kind of going back and forth between Atlanta, and honestly, it's hard for me to keep Kansas City out.
Yeah, I could see putting Kansas City in there, and I could see Atlanta. I think not where they are right now, but I would think about Seattle or Pittsburgh eventually. Because
yes.
I know that that's probably where they'll end up, but they're not there right now. So yeah, I could see someone like that.
Yeah,
okay.
Ending up there, yes. Right now,
no.
Just on the outside.
Yes, I would agree with that. Okay, look, we've got bad football teams around this league. We've got some good ones. I don't know if we have any great ones. We have some good ones. We just talked, you know, maybe six, seven, eight good ones. We've got a lot of bad ones. Here's the solution. We need to kick some teams out of this league. Okay? We need to pare this down. If you want must-see TV, we need to get rid of some of the teams in this league. 32 is too many. We don't have enough great players for 32 teams. I'm sorry. Sorry, America. That's just how it is. We've got to pare this down. And as a result, today, on the Daily Dose, Mike and I are going to kick eight teams out of the NFL. Now, this doesn't have to be just this year. This is kind of a franchise thing. We're going to kick eight teams out of the NFL and say, hey, it's been fun, I'm sorry, but you're just watering down this league, so we're going to boot you out. Got any suggestions for the teams you want to boot out? Told you I was going to put you on the spot today.
You know what? Enjoy your NBA championship. Enjoy your potential MLB championship.
Sure.
You need to lose your NFL franchise.
Cleveland, I'm sorry. You've got to go. Cleveland is out. The Browns are no longer part of the NFL. We just booted them off here on the Daily Dose. That's one. We've got seven more we've got to get to. Who else you got?
You know, they're fun in the 90s. No team has ever gone to four Super Bowls in a row, but you got to pull off one of those, and they haven't sniffed it since. The Bills.
You're kicking out the Bills. Bills are gone. All right, we'll kick out the Bills. Hey, after what I saw thrown on the field from Bills fans on Sunday, and I'm not going to go into it here on the Daily Dose because we are a family program, but after what I saw thrown on the field, here, one question. How did they get it in? That's the only question I have. How did they get it into the stadium?
They're metal detectors, not...
Yeah, I guess. Did you hear Gronkowski's comment?
I don't know if it's his or Brady's, but one of them was laughing. He said, because the ref refused to bend down and pick it up, he just kept kicking.
Gronkowski said, I just assumed it was for the Bills.
Yeah, and I think Brady said, only in Buffalo.
Right. Oh, that's bad. That's bad. If you, like you said, if you haven't seen it, go Google it. Okay, Browns out. Bills out. I'm going to throw a couple of the teams that out of the league. The Jacksonville Jaguars. Sorry, you're out. Jags have brought nothing to the NFL except for teal. And we don't need teal in the NFL. Other than that, they've given us nothing over the span that they've been in the league. So we're going to throw Jacksonville out. There's three. We've got five more to go. Any suggestions? Or I have a couple here if you don't.
You know, since the whole Music City Miracle, and Tennessee hasn't done much.
Tennessee can go. Tennessee, we'll boot them out. Yeah, I like that pick. Tennessee hasn't done anything. They're not getting through. They were much, much better as the Oilers than they've ever been as the Titans. So I'm fine with Tennessee getting out. I'm going to give you one here. And we just talked about them. I really like them this year. I think they're a scrappy team. But you've done nothing for this league. The San Diego Chargers, sorry, you're gone.
They can't even, when the Broncos play there, it's a home game.
It's a home game.
I wasn't thinking of that one, and you're absolutely right.
And again, we're not talking about this season, but as a franchise, the San Diego Superchargers, you got to go. You're bringing nothing to the table whatsoever. Okay, let's see what we got. We're at five. We've got three more to go. I've got three if you don't have them, but if you have any suggestions, I'm all ears.
Got to go with the Lions.
Okay. I have the Lions on my list. Detroit, you know the best part about kicking the Lions out of the league? We don't have to watch them on Thanksgiving anymore. That is a horrible, horrible game every year.
Right. When was the last good Detroit game on Thanksgiving?
I think either Barry Sanders or Billy Sims played in it.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Just horrible. All right, six. I'm going to throw another one out there. They're playing good this year. But if you look at their history, they've never done anything. Been to one Super Bowl. The Atlanta Falcons, you got to go. Atlanta, you've got nothing for us.
Yeah, just haven't been able to put it together. A lot of talent, a lot of offensive talent.
Yes. Never do anything with it.
Always
fade down the stretch and never do anything in the postseason.
Yeah. As a non-Bronco, he's my favorite defensive player, but other than him, Houston Texans don't do anything.
Houston Texans, that's my other team on my list too. Texans, go bye-bye. Okay, the Daily Dose has just evicted eight NFL franchises. Here they are. The Cleveland Browns, gone. The Buffalo Bills, gone. Jacksonville Jaguars, Tennessee Titans, San Diego Chargers, Detroit Lions, Atlanta Falcons, and the Houston Texans. You are no longer a part of the NFL. Thanks for coming. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
How much better would the NFL be?
I'm telling you. It would be amazing.
Throughout the other teams.
24 teams now have all that talent pool. That's pretty good football there. We've just fixed a lot of things. We're fixing things today. Okay, I'm going to let you draft a quarterback today, Mike, since you joined us today. You're going to start your own NFL franchise. I'm going to give you the Castle Rock Catamounts. That's going to be your new NFL franchise. And I'm going to let you draft your new quarterback, okay? Here are the four quarterbacks that are on the board. You get your pick. Are you ready?
Let's go.
Okay. Quarterback number one, Marcus Mariota. Not bad. Not bad. Quarterback number two, Jameis Winston. Came out the same year. Hey, got some upside. Got a few things they got to work on. Quarterback number three, Andrew Luck. Quarterback number four, Matthew Stafford. You're going to build a franchise starting right now. Who's the guy that you want out of those four quarterbacks?
Well, out of those, I'd have to take Luck. And obviously, I would have to have a better GM than the Colts have at building something around him.
Yeah. I'm starting to see, here's the thing that I worry about with Luck. He's starting to get that David Carr look to him. Not Derek Carr, but David. And we remember him down at Houston, where he was so overwhelmed. He was so sacked. He was like the most sacked quarterback ever. I'm starting to wonder if Andrew Luck's, if he's just getting beat down. Like, there's a part of me that almost goes, I want the Mariota just because he's fresh, he's young, he's not broken yet. I'm starting to wonder if Andrew Luck's getting broken.
It's possible. You can only take so much abuse. Other than when they play the Broncos, I haven't watched the Colts that much this year, but I would hope that he is protecting himself a little bit better than he was last year.
I don't know if he is.
Bent him in half and did a little spleen surgery on him last year when he played the Broncos. But it doesn't matter if you're offensive. And again, we're coming back to the offensive line. If you don't have the talent around him, and boy, what an awful defense they have too. That's a tough situation. And that's the problem with having a franchise quarterback. You have to invest so much money.
Yep.
That you don't have a lot to put anywhere else. You're either going to have zero depth or a bunch of mediocre guys.
No, you're absolutely right. Because you've got to sink that all that money into them. And the only way you can sidestep that is you get the young quarterback like the Russell Wilson that's not taking that huge contract, or you get the smart quarterback like the Tom Brady that says, well, yeah, I've got the huge contract, but you know what? Let's offset this money until later and later and later and later and later, and I'm going to figure out ways for us to be financially intelligent so that we can still go get people.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing to see, you know, which way teams go. I mean, obviously, based on their playoff performance last year, Houston was desperate for a quarterback and paid a desperate contract to an unproven commodity. And it's so far, it's not working out for them.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this goes. Okay, we've got to jump over to some awards. And I know we're only at the midseason point. Right now, we can hand out some awards based on what we've seen so far. So right now, week 8, halfway through, who would your most valuable player be?
I got three guys that come to mind.
Okay.
One's fading a little bit, one is shooting up like a rocket, and one is rising steadily. The one that's fading a little bit, if you'd asked me 2 weeks ago, I'd have thought it'd be even more of him, but Matt Ryan is doing such a tremendous job again because they just don't have the defense there, and that offense is incredible. The one that's rising steadily for me, Derek Carr.
Derek Carr's pretty good.
Oh, my God.
And he doesn't turn it over.
That performance he had on Sunday, of course, it was against,
right, it's against Tampa.
A horrible team.
But what was it, 500 yards?
Yeah.
Incredible.
Insane. But you know what? Tom Brady. You know, it pains me a little bit to say that, but what that team is doing now, they were holding on. They actually finished 3-1 without him.
Right.
But, you know, they weren't dazzling people. They were holding on. They were making adjustments to win those games. Since he's been back, he's completing something like 73% of his passes. He's already missing four games. He's still one of the leaders in passing yards and touch. It's unbelievable. Goodell, with that suspension, did the NFL a disservice.
Now, do you think, as we get to the finish of the season, that riders will vote for Brady considering he did miss four? Like, how many games can you miss?
Yeah, I mean, you're looking at a fourth of the season.
Right.
But I do. I think you got to put it into play still. But it also depends on what other guys do along the way, but he's on fire right now.
Yeah, he is. I'm going to throw out a name to you, and when I say it, we just got done talking about him. And I do think he's a little bit broken, but I'm going to tell you a guy who might be the most valuable player to his team, and that is Andrew Luck. Take Andrew Luck off that team, and that Colts team is probably the worst team in the league. They're battling Cleveland to get their first win.
Could be. Absolutely. Yeah, and it's funny because it's how you view the award.
Sure.
Most valuable player to his team is typically not how people
no,
look
no,
at
no.
it.
No. Most valuable player is best player on best team.
Right.
Always has been. Yeah. Okay, offensive player of the year, who would your pick be?
It's hard not to bring up the three guys that I just mentioned.
Sure.
And you know what? You got to throw Ezekiel Elliott in there.
Yeah. Elliott's been huge. I'll throw one other name in there. And just offensive player. Philip Rivers should probably be in there somewhere.
Could be.
I don't even know who he's throwing to.
Denver, three interceptions. One of them was not his fault with the
right
receiver playing hot potato.
That was a little odd. But who's he throwing to?
You're exactly right.
He's throwing to a 400-pound Antonio Gates.
Yep.
And then young tight end. Travis Benjamin.
Tight end's pretty good. But
yeah, he's decent.
Like their fourth and fifth wide receivers out there.
Yes.
Woodhead's out. He wills his team to mediocrity.
Yes, he does. He really does. And don't get me wrong, they're going to end up losing in the end. But they're at least in it. Yeah, I like any of those picks. You know, like you said, Brady, Elliott, Matt Ryan. But yeah, I think I would at least consider throwing Philip Rivers in there. Defensive player of the year?
Very well may win his first, and he's probably is going to be benefiting from J.J. Watt being out. But Von Miller, you know, it's funny, if you ask a lot of the casual fans who leads the NFL in sacks right now, most of them would say, oh, well, Von Miller. No.
No.
A retread, a guy nobody's heard of up in Buffalo, Lorenzo Alexander, who leads the league in sacks right now. The difference, though, nobody game plans around that guy.
No. There's a legitimate feel.
Sits up at night and goes, oh, my God, how am I going to stop Lorenzo Alexander?
Right.
Now, despite being game planned against, despite being held on 80% of the offensive snaps, despite double teams, despite chips by the running backs and tight ends, he's still second in the NFL in sacks, up there with tackles. I think it's tied with a bunch of players for second with forced fumbles. Quarterback hits. It's his to lose.
Well, and like you said, there is a little bit of almost that Lawrence Taylor feel of on every single play, we have to know where he's at because he can completely and entirely change this game. If we don't account for Von Miller, he will destroy our game plan completely.
Yes.
On every single play, you have to know where the guy is. Okay, Rookie of the Year. Who do you got for Rookie of the Year?
You know, I had three candidates, and we saw them all on Sunday Night Football.
Really? I'm going to throw one other one in there. So
I
you've
got Carson Wentz.
Absolutely.
Starting from the get-go, wow, playing well. And both the guys from Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, him performing well isn't a very big surprise because you've got the best offensive line in football to
sure
run behind, and he was a beast in college. I think he might be exceeding expectations a little bit, which is why right now I would lean towards giving it to Dak Prescott.
Okay. I'll tell you the rookie that is impressing me more and more every time I see him. That's Joey Bosa.
You know, you're right.
He is looking unblockable.
About a disrupting force. And
wow.
Whatever it was, I didn't get that much into whether it was his wanting too much or it just made no sense that they didn't sign him until that late. But he'd be closer to mid-season form right now. I mean, we might have to wait a few weeks to see that, but wow.
Yeah.
He looks like a force.
Yes, he does. Okay, Coach of the Year. Right now, who's your Coach of the Year?
You know, until a couple of weeks ago, it was Mike Zimmer, and he still deserves some votes for what he's doing with that MASH unit.
Yeah, they just don't have the people.
And it's funny, I wonder how many votes he's not going to get because of it's almost status quo for him, but Bill Belichick.
Yeah, no, he's got to be my guy. And I know we're going to find out here in a couple of years that he was, I don't know, injecting helium into the stands or so. I don't know. Something's coming, I'm sure, because Belichick's always looking for that advantage. But what he did those first weeks without Brady there and piecing together game plans to somehow still beat pretty decent teams was nothing less than impressive.
Well, I think by game three, they had the hot dog vendor as their backup quarterback.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
Exactly. And those guys, I don't know about Garoppolo. We'll see if he... Jacoby Brissett is not an NFL quarterback. He won a game with that guy.
Yep.
No, pretty impressive. The way that he gets his teams ready and the way that he goes about attacking your weaknesses and exposing your flaws really, really is amazing. It really is too bad that he is going to have these bruises around his name.
Yep.
For the rest of, his legacy, because you sit there and say, dude, you didn't need any of that stuff. You're really, really good at what you do.
And you know what, though? He don't care.
No, he doesn't. He really doesn't care one bit.
He could give a rip.
Yep. No, that's just how he rolls. So we talked a little bit about who we think, can get through the AFC, the NFC, some of the top teams coming through. I'm going to lay it out there for you. Let's have at week 8 midseason, who is your pick for Super Bowl 51?
You know, I just think they're too talented and that they're going to find a way to get things to work. They're struggling right now. For me, it's kind of hard in the long run to pick against Seattle.
Yeah. I just feel like they're going to figure things out.
Russell Wilson is so talented. He's actually using his tight end now.
Right.
In that defense. When you have a defense like that, it covers up a lot. That one I'm struggling with a bit more. I could see Dallas.
Yeah, I could too.
Not much else sticks out too much for me right now in the NFC. On the AFC side, it pains me to say it. It's New England's to lose.
Yeah, it is. They look like head and shoulders better than anyone else. So you are going, at least right now, Seattle, New England, and that is actually the pick that I made prior to the season. And yes, you can go back and look it up. I really did say that. I think it's going to be Seattle versus New England when it comes down to it. But there's still so much football left to be played. So many scenarios and storylines that are going to play themselves out over the next 8 to 9 weeks. And then we hit the postseason where things really get crazy. Injuries, playing, the quality that guys are playing at just changed so much over that amount of time. But right now, I could see both of those teams getting through to Super Bowl 51.
Well,
going to be an interesting season.
Last year with Denver's run, how different could the Pittsburgh game have been if they would have been healthy? They didn't have the running back or the all-world wide receiver.
Well, and you remember that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati playoff game, and just what an insane finish and that whole meltdown thing with Cincinnati.
Yes.
Things can twist and change at just the drop of a hat, and we just don't know where.
Yeah, Minnesota missing a field goal.
Right, a chippy field goal.
Yes.
Yeah, could have been completely different.
You know, that's one thing that I love about the NFL. You can't flub it up and say, oh, well, it's the best of seven.
It's
all on the line.
When it is a single elimination tournament, which is what the NFL truly is at the end of the day, single elimination, anything can happen. And a hot team can get hot at the right time and can go win the whole thing. And we've seen it a number of times. So who knows who it's going to be this year? It could be a team right now that we're not even talking about that could end up slipping through and winning the whole thing.
Yeah, and that's what you got to hope. It builds the excitement towards the second half of the year.
Yeah, it's been a little bit slow getting going, but I expect it to pick up, and I think it's going to get better and hopefully down the stretch. Plus, let's be real clear. With the 8 teams we kicked out today, it's going to get a whole lot better as we go down the stretch.
It's going to
go getting so much better once we got those teams out of there. Hey, Mike, I have to say thank you so much for stopping by the Daily Dose. Always appreciate your insight. You know that you're welcome here anytime. Love talking NFL with you.
I love being here. This is always a good time.
Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Look, who are we kidding? We talked about a little bit earlier in the show. Next week, before we get together again, you are probably going to go cast your ballot for the next American president. Well, if you're an American voter. I know we have people that listen to the show outside the country that maybe you're not American citizens, and maybe you're not going to vote, whatever the situation might be. But if you're an American voter, you're going to go cast your ballot next Tuesday. And I'm going to be honest with you. These candidates that we have, pretty awful. They're pretty awful. Let's be honest. Donald Trump is probably the worst candidate in Republican history. Hillary Clinton is probably the worst candidate that the Democrats have ever nominated. You can spin it however you want to. Look, I talked to both of them here on The Dose, and firsthand, I got to see, let's be real clear, they kind of came off like idiots, right? But here at The Daily Dose, again, we are in the business of helping people. So what I have done is I have compiled a list of more qualified candidates than our current crop of stooges that you're going to be pulling the lever on next week. And maybe you're going to go with a smaller party. But there's a pretty good chance that the majority of America is going to vote for the two major candidates. I've got 5 candidates that you're just going to have to trust me on this that is better than any of these candidates you are going to have to vote for next week. Are you ready? Number 5 on our list of better U.S. presidential candidates. I don't know his politics. I don't know what kind of politics he has, but he seems like a pretty sharp guy. I mean, he played Woody. He was Sully. He was Captain Phillips. He went to the moon. Well, he didn't actually get to the moon, but he kind of went around the moon. He was Forrest Gump. He played for Alabama. And he even managed a women's baseball team in World War II. Yes, I would vote for Tom Hanks. If you put Tom Hanks up there between these two clowns we're going to vote for, tell me you wouldn't vote for Hanks over either one of them. What can't he do? Remember when he managed that baseball team? He's a pretty good manager.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris.
See, I like that. I like that. I feel like we have too much crying in this country in general right now. Everybody's crying about their feelings. Everybody's crying about this, crying about that. I feel like, I don't know, maybe Tom Hanks might be a decent selection. Tom Hanks, number 5 on our Daily Dose list of better U.S. presidential candidates. Number 4 on our list. Okay, I'll be honest. Bill Belichick is a jerk, and he cheats. But one other thing he does is he does get the job done. He wins. Mike and I talked about it earlier. The Patriots, now going over a decade, have been winning game after game after game. Yes, it's probably shady, and when it's all done, we'll find out about some new gate thing that he's created. But he's probably going to have some success. And I'm telling you right now, his press conferences would be great. President Belichick, you just bombed Greenland? What possible reason could you have for such an attack on them?
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
President Belichick, can you please explain to us exactly what you're going to do with the healthcare system in this country?
Yeah, but we're on to Cincinnati.
President Belichick, can you please tell us how you plan on getting the deficit down?
Yeah, we're on to Cincinnati. It's nothing about the past, nothing about the future. It's right now, we're preparing for Cincinnati.
Yes, he's a jerk, and yes, he's a cheater, and he'd probably be pretty good. He's number 4 on our list. Number 3 on our list, I'm going to go with Chris Rock. Yeah, yes, the comedian Chris Rock. Come on, Ronald Reagan started off in the world of entertainment. Why can't we have Chris Rock? One, Chris Rock's actually funny, so that's a positive. But, you know, Rock seems to have some common sense, which, of course, here at the Daily Dose, we really respect. And let's be honest, we don't have much common sense in Washington, D.C. I think he would be a great addition to the political world if we could get Chris Rock to run for president.
We all got a gang mentality. Republicans are idiots, and Democrats are idiots, and conservatives are idiots, and liberals are idiots. And anyone that makes up their mind before they hit an issue is a fool, okay? Everybody, no. Everybody's so busy wanting to be down with a gang. I'm a conservative, I'm liberal, I'm conservative. Be a person. Listen. Let it swirl around your head. Then form your opinion. No normal, decent person is one thing, okay? I got some I'm conservative about. I got some I'm liberal about. Crime, I'm conservative. Prostitution, I'm liberal.
See, it's common sense. We need some common sense in Washington, D.C. He's number 3 on our list. Number 2 on our list, I have to go with Norman Dale. I'm going to go with Norman Dale. Yes, he has a bit of a spotty past, but I'm telling you right now, Norman Dale is a leader. He's fair. He's got morals. He has a military background, which is a positive. And you know, Norman Dale isn't afraid to make big decisions. He does what's best for others. He does what's best for the team. Who is Norman Dale, you might ask? You'll remember.
There's a tradition in tournament play to not talk about the next step until you've climbed the one in front of you. I'm sure going to the state finals is beyond your wildest dreams, so let's just keep it right there. Forget about the crowds. The size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again. And most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay?
You see? You see, I'm ready to follow that guy. Like, I'm ready to start the slow clap. I mean, he had me fired up. I'm ready to go out and play or do whatever it is I need to do. You know, taxes are going up, but I know that Norman Dale wouldn't try to rip me off, so I'll live with it. Sure, he might hire a drunk to be his vice president as like a favor, but he'll get Shooter all cleaned up and presentable by the end of it. And honestly, would getting a drunk like Shooter really be that different from having Wild Joe Biden as a vice president? It's kind of the same thing, isn't it? I'm not going to worry about that. I think Norman Dale would be a great, great president. I'd be okay voting for him over either one of the candidates we have. Okay, number one, Daily Dose, better U.S. presidential candidate than what we have right now. And I'm going to be honest, there's going to be some red tape we have to get through. I don't know if he has all the citizenship requirements that he has to have to be the U.S. president. But I'm telling you right now, he would be great. Yes, I am talking about the number one candidate on our list today, King Jaffe Jofer, ruler of Zamunda. Hey, you can laugh if you want to. But make no mistake, Jaffe Jofer had Zamunda rolling. They had money. They had palaces. It didn't seem like there was a bunch of civil unrest or people that were homeless. He was good to the environment. He had some endangered species running through his palace grounds. Folks all got together. You know, remember his son's wedding? Everybody got together. There weren't any issues. There weren't any shootouts. There weren't any problems. The economy was booming in Zamunda. They had beautiful women. And I mean, that voice.
Hey, what's up, brother? You're a little late for the Christmas pageant.
I'm King Jaffe Jofer, ruler of Zamunda.
Yeah, well, have a seat. Chair number two be ready in a second.
This is beautiful. What is that, velvet?
I have come for my son, Akeem.
Come for who?
You know, Kunta from up, Kunta.
Oh, yeah, the boy upstairs. Oh, yeah, yeah, him. He around here someplace. He live upstairs on the fifth floor. Hey! Hey, who gonna clean up all these flowers?
You see what I'm talking about. A country respects that voice. A country respects that guy. If you've got King Jaffe Jofer, countries around the world, oh, they're going to respect America. You want to make America great again? Go get King Jaffe. That's a better candidate than anyone we have in the United States right now. Hey, next week, we are going to do our NBA preview. I know the NBA season is super, super long, but it is underway. And while it is super long and it's going to, you know, be another 6 months before it gets done, we just want to give you a brief overview of what to expect in the upcoming NBA season. Plus, we will wrap up the baseball season next week because we know one way or the other, it's going to be over. Got to talk a little bit of NFL, some college football, and of course, the Daily Dose Top 5. Hey, if you get a chance, wherever it is that you download or subscribe to the podcast, please, please, please head over there. Just give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. It just helps us get seen by a few more people. Got any questions? Got any comments? Feel free to email us at dailydosesports@gmail.com or follow us on Twitter or Facebook at Daily Dose Sports. Have to say thanks to Mike from Castle Rock for stopping by and doing our NFL midseason report. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week.